This video is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creative people where millions get to explore together. Skillshare's got thousands of classes. As artists, you're going to love discovering topics in fine art, illustration, and more. Lots of Skillshare classes are under 60 minutes. With short lessons, you can fit them into the busiest of schedules. I thought at first I was going to watch a Skillshare class about marketing, but actually, I ended up watching Storytelling for Leaders, How to Craft Stories That Matter with Keith Yamashita. Got me thinking that I could learn all the marketing skills that I wanted, but that actually, the heart of marketing is being able to tell a good story. Skillshare is also super affordable, and annual subscription is less than $10 a month. The first 500 of our subscribers to click this link, which is also in the video description below, will get a 2-month free trial of premium membership so you can explore your creativity.
A critique is an exchange.
A critique is a discussion.
There's so much emphasis when you're an artist on the making of the artwork. Critique is this whole other process that happens afterwards.
You're bringing in your art. You're presenting it to people. You're being quite vulnerable by doing so.
I can get a few other sets of eyes in the room and give me a quick read of what they think is going on in my work.
I had worked on this giant drawing of a seahorse that was photorealistic, and I brought it in. My teacher turned to me and she was like, "Why are you trying to make this photo realistic? We have cameras for that. What can you bring to drawing that a camera can't capture? What can you capture?" And I learned so much from that first critique, and I really began to look at how I approach my work and how I define a successful drawing.
It's a chance for me to take a more active role in getting the kind of feedback that I know I need for a particular piece, or just getting a sense of what the next step should be.
The most useful critique I've ever received was at National Portfolio Day. The woman said that I didn't have the right skill set for what I wanted to be doing and I should find another career to pursue. They basically told me that I sucked. At the time, that was pretty terrible and I was very crushed, but ultimately, it led me to grow more as an artist than any other critique has.
There's something about having to verbalize what you're thinking and to discuss it with a whole bunch of other people who have totally different points of view that I think just gives you a whole other perspective on your work.
The best kinds of critiques are the ones where the whole class is participating, but participating in a way where everybody is giving their own opinion.
I remember once in Professor Liu's class, I actually had an experience with an assignment that was to draw like a map of our brains. When I brought it in, I was really self-conscious about it, and it was just a self-portrait. But the critique I got was so positive because it wasn't like a perfect critique. Like, there were a lot of things wrong with the piece. The main thing that I got from it was that it was okay to make work that was personal. That was something that I really took to heart moving forward.
The first time I ever made an animation, and I was like really nervous, but I was like kind of proud of it, and a lot of my classmates like loved it. My teacher actually hated it, and one of the things that she told me was, "Just because you have nice handwriting doesn't mean you have anything to say." For me, that was like the first time I had a really bad crit, but I think it actually propelled me more to work harder animation and try and create my own voice.
For a lot of students, a critique might be a totally alien concept. The first critique with a new class, so important because that really sets the tone for the entire semester.
One thing that really bugs me is when a professor doesn't know how to give instructions to crit. A lot of students come in not knowing how to crit, and it's the professor's job to really get us started.
I have a really clear memory of walking into my first class in my first year of art school and getting the first critique by this teacher, and it was so nice. There were all these compliments, really nothing to improve on, and that set the tone for the rest of the year. We knew how this teacher would teach for the rest of the class, and we made work appropriate with that level.
If you are really energetic and you're paying attention, the students are going to notice that.
You've got to sell the idea that critique is this really fun, awesome thing and that you are also invested in their development.
Right. And if you're not excited, there's no way they're going to be thrilled about being there. Sometimes your body language, something as simple as that, does set the tone. I try to be very focused. I make sure the students are really looking at me and that I'm looking at them. That engagement is really important because it says, look, I'm really paying attention. You as the instructor have to really give somewhat of a structure to what to expect.
So the reason why you lay down this groundwork, the reason why there are all these rules and structure to how to critique, is that ultimately you want to help the artist.
Making them aware of those specific expectations, I think, is really helpful.
It was a work day and everyone was working on their pieces. Our professor just called us over to one part of the classroom and asked us to bring our pieces. And she started launching into talking about them. We were confused as a class because we were like, oh, are we in a crit now? That's why I think it's really important for a teacher to lay down the ground rules.
I will lay down a few ground rules, not to the point where it's step by step. We're just talking about artwork. That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But I'll say things to them like, look, if you want to make a statement, you want to say, oh, well, I think the composition could be better. Say why. Sometimes you have a lot of students who just say, I really like it.
Most of the time, people were just going like, oh, I like that part. One time, I just stood up in front of everybody and I said to everyone, tell me what you hate the most about this piece, and please do not just say, I like this one part. The first person to speak up just went, I like that part.
I had a student, he'd be like, this charcoal drawing reminds me of the most recent Iron Man film. He would just leave it at that. And I'm like, okay, but why? How? Explain what the connection is.
Students think that that's a compliment, but I actually don't think that's a compliment.
Oh,
because
sure.
They'll say, oh, that really looks like Star Wars. And everybody goes, yeah. I'll just say, but hang on a second. Now we're not talking about your artwork anymore.
Yeah,
we're talking about Star Wars.
Even when you're giving positive feedback, to think about like what the utility of that comment is. I want to point out the good qualities, but I also want to point them out in a way where it'll give the artist somewhere to go.
When I first started teaching, I was really excited to start leading critiques, but immediately found that I had this problem where I just wanted everyone to know when they did something right. I would just praise people too much. The kids really didn't have a barometer for how to improve or like when they really were doing a great job or a decent job or when they needed a lot of
when
improvement.
When they were really disappointing. Really
bad. Yeah.
I always preface what I'm saying or devalue what I'm saying. When I don't like something, I say, but that's just me.
You got to be comfortable just giving them a negative critique.
Not a negative, a constructive.
Constructive,
critique.
Yes, of course.
My art teacher sort of sat me down afterward and looked at me like, you can do better than this. Up until that point, I've been kind of resting on my laurels. And so after that critique, I was able to sort of acknowledge that I needed to push myself forward in order to get better at art.
My drawing professor, straight to my face, in front of everybody, said that everything that I had tacked onto the wall was cliche, boring, and tacky.
The student brought in this piece that so obviously they put no work.
I remember this. This was in my class.
It was. I didn't really want to call them out on it immediately. I wanted to see how the students were going to react. We had this one student in class who was very direct and outspoken, and they started the critique by saying, that's a load of crap. Not that nice, but I sort of think that that comment had to be said to give everybody else permission to say, look, you didn't do anything this week.
I think the worst crits are when everyone's just staring at your work and literally no one has anything to say. And it's silent for 10 minutes until one of your classmates is trying to help you out. And they're like, oh, well, I think, like, that looks cool. And you're like, thanks. But
I just remember getting such a bad critique in your first class. And it really immediately established the idea that I had to have, like, a tougher skin and not be so precious about my work.
I think if I hadn't had so much experience with critique, I would never have made it professionally as an artist. In an educational setting, even though you might get comments that maybe are more negative, you know that it's constructive. Yeah. Whereas when I got out of school, I'd have people saying things to me like, oh, I don't care for this.
Yeah.
I was like, that's it? Because I'd had so many critiques before, I was like, okay, that's what they think. That's their opinion. I'm going to move on.
When I heard my feedback, I took it really to heart, and I got really upset as a result. By the next class, they told me that critiques are not supposed to be taken personally and instead are just meant to improve you as an artist.
When receiving critique, I really try to remember it's my artwork that's being critiqued, and it has nothing to do with me as a person.
A lot of us have a really personal relationship with our art, so it's hard to separate those things sometimes. Getting critique for a self-portrait assignment. When someone's like talking about, I don't know, this mark in the nose is off or like the eyes look crooked, it's really hard not to take it personally, but it's not about you. It's about the work.
It's so useful to hear someone else being critiqued because you can really step outside of that. Whereas when it's your artwork, it's almost too close and it's tougher to listen to in some ways.
Sometimes my best ideas came from someone else's critique.
I really encourage the students, look, listen to each other's critique because you're going to learn a lot from that.
I've got this one friend who I always ask for a critique, but every time he gives a suggestion, I'm always like, oh, I've already done that. I'm already thinking about that. And he's like, Lauren, why do you always get defensive? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that. So I think the first step is just noticing that you're being defensive.
You want to just leap out immediately and be like, yes, of course I did. Let someone finish a thought before you attack it.
In critiques, I've seen people get really defensive about their artwork, and they usually blame other things for not completing certain projects. One time we had a project in my drawing class where we had to go outside and draw from real life, and one of the students blamed the weather for not being able to complete her artwork because it was too rainy the day before. Own up to your mistakes, don't blame anything else. It's your own responsibility to complete that project.
Art, of course, is very subjective, so there's no real way to measure how successful someone has been in creating work. But what can be measured a little bit more successfully is how accessible it is to a larger audience.
When I'm working on something, even if I'm really proud of it, there's always something in my head where I'm not sure about it.
Whenever I do comics, I always draw little thumbnails and just present them to people without saying anything. I just say, what do you see? If what they see matches what I want the audiences to see, I know I've done a good job. But if they see something completely different, I know I need to go back and revise the thumbnails.
There are some things in your piece that only you see and that other people won't see.
Sometimes it's really helpful to try to give less context for people just to let them give you their first impression.
Let's just do a cold read. Don't say anything. Just let the class talk first. And then we'll say, well, was that really what you were trying to do? And they can explain things. Some critiques, I'll have the student talk first. So they'll introduce the project, say, this is my intent. That's really eye-opening because sometimes you can really understand the project better, but sometimes there's a drawback there because then you know already, oh, they were trying to do this, and it really does change the way you critique that piece. The order that you critique the artworks in really does affect how the students feel about their work. For example, I had a teacher in art school who used to essentially, without explicitly saying it, critique the pieces from best to worst. So he would start out the class by saying, okay, looking at all these drawings, which drawing really fulfills the objectives? Where do you really see a bold sense of contrast and composition? And so he'd look at us and say, okay, pick one. People would pick one. And inevitably, it was always one of the stronger pieces in the class. We'd critique that one. And then he would say, what's another piece that also conveys bold, strong composition? And it just went downhill from there. And I always felt so bad about it because frequently it was the same students who were being picked first, and they'd always get the most attention and time just because they were earlier in the critique. And then it was always the same students who were picked last who had the least amount of time on their work.
My project only got critiqued for 5 minutes. The teacher didn't plan the critique session quite well. Some students received 20-minute long critiques, while other students, such as myself, received only 5 minutes of feedback.
What I try to do is critique the students in a completely random order. I sometimes don't even go from piece to piece. I'll start with one piece and say, okay, guys, let's go to the other side of the room. It just really makes it a lot more fair so that some students don't feel like they're always being left in the dust.
I think it's so important to switch up critique every once in a while. If you fall into the same rhythm of critique, you might end up just getting the same feedback all the time, and that's definitely not what you want.
A lot of the times, I'll do a full critique of the entire class all at once, but also sometimes what I'll do is split the class in half, so it's a smaller group of students, say maybe 5 or 6 students, and then I'll say to the other half of the class, okay, you guys work on this project. other times, I'll have the whole class working, and I'll just pull students out in the hallway one by one, and then we can really just talk together. I always ask students to bring their sketches and their finished work to the critique, because sometimes you can see something in the thumbnail sketches that reveals something about their process, or sometimes even the thumbnail sketch might be better than the finished artwork.
Yeah, I really find that thumbnail sketches really shows all of the artist's thinking.
Sometimes I'll have students who will start a drawing and then they'll pitch it and start another one. And I'll say to them, you know what, bring that first attempt, because then we can see how you got to where you arrived. And honestly, sometimes I'm like, why did you start over? It looks so good. You could have done something with that. Because one issue I see is oftentimes students start over before they've really given the drawing a chance. And seeing that is an opportunity to really teach that moment. It's really good to reference a student's prior artworks. So I'll say to a student, hey, you're doing some really great things with contrast here in this drawing today. But 2 weeks ago, I remember that the contrast was really muddy. You were really struggling with that. Showing something to say that you're really thinking about them as a whole artist and not just that week. And also to foster connections between the works so they don't feel that each drawing is a separate initiative, but that everything you're doing, it's all going to the same pot.
As an instructor, it's really good sometimes to have an in-progress crit, because if a student is going down the wrong track or making a decision that is going to perceive wrong later in the future, you can catch that in the middle and then direct them towards a path that is more their intent. At an in-process critique, the results are really different from student to student. Some students, you can just say, go ahead, full speed ahead. Other students, you might say, maybe you might need to think about this a little bit more or do additional thumbnail sketches. It's really hard sometimes in an in-progress critique to hear, scrap it, you need to start completely over. But those are words you need to hear in order to have a better piece.
I definitely encourage students to follow up with me one-on-one after critique if they feel that something was maybe confusing or they want a little bit more explanation on a specific topic. I think when you talk to students one-on-one, it's such a different dynamic because they'll be willing to say things to you that maybe they were too embarrassed to say in front of the class. Make sure that they are aware that that's an option. You'll have pieces that are really technically accomplished, but then maybe the subject matter is really boring and doesn't really do much. Or other times you have projects where you're like, wow, this is such a great idea, but you didn't really put in the time to technically execute it well. And that's what I really try to do, is to say, okay, well, how are these two things interacting? Is one stronger or weaker than another? That's important to see the whole picture with a piece.
As an instructor, it's really important to hold the students accountable to actually fulfilling the assignment.
I was given this assignment where I had to draw a skeleton. And I decided to be very ambitious, and I drew two skeletons. It did not go over well for me. We only had to do one skeleton, but I did do two. Later on in life, when you don't read the assignment or you're not producing exactly what your clients want, it's not good.
It's important for the rest of the students in the class. The expectations you lay out are important, and that everyone's being evaluated on the same level. As an instructor, it's really important to put aside personal bias, which can be really difficult because obviously when you're evaluating art, so much of your personal taste is going to come into it, but you really have to try to be more objective than that.
I had a clear vision for this project I was doing, and during the crit, my teacher looked at my art and started telling me things that she wanted to see in my piece, as opposed to letting me foster my own vision. I wasn't making an artwork that I wanted to make, but instead an artwork that she wanted to make.
This professor had a difficult relationship with the fact that I wanted to draw comics. There was one critique where they actually had a visiting artist come in as well, and he also hated comics, and they took it upon themselves to like gang up on me, and the students honestly like backed off and just let them go back and forth about how I shouldn't be drawing comics. I had already mastered it, which I think is an absurd thing.
I brought an illustration piece to drawing class one day for crit. And my friend as well, we had spent the whole weekend working hard on these pieces, and we were excited to hear back from our classmates about them. But even though the crit was going long and everybody was getting extensive feedback, we didn't really get any comments on our work. Like, we got maybe two comments from our classmates, and then, like, whatever the teacher said was so insignificant, I can't even remember anymore. After this bad crit, we sort of walked out and we looked at each other and we said, like, what happened? Why did nobody want to talk about our work? We felt like it was sort of unfair that because we had gone the representational route, we didn't get to learn from our pieces like our classmates did.
When I'm teaching an illustration class, my own taste in illustration, I like things that are very graphic and kind of simple. When I see kids doing that in class, I'm like living vicariously through them. I'm like, you gotta push this. You gotta get more abstract with it. I have to restrain myself and remind myself, like, this might not be the intention of the students.
I want to listen to everybody, even though I know it's not going to actually make me feel happier about the work.
Probably the best thing about critique is that you do get like such a wide variety of opinions. It can be overwhelming because sometimes they contradict. And I like to think of critique sometimes as like a choose your own adventure where you have like a lot of different options laid out.
As much as I respect teachers, I also am going to trust my gut feeling. I talked to another teacher and that teacher really said, like, no, this is a great story. You should trust your instincts and keep going.
Sometimes you'll have critiques where there's this overwhelming consensus.
One person says something that was like kind of negative. It changed the whole atmosphere of the critique and everybody started piling on to that. I think it's important if you're a teacher running a crit to make sure that a variety of things are talked about within the work and not just one thing. You should take some initiative to make sure that several different viewpoints are presented and that it's not so one-sided.
As a teacher, you have to play devil's advocate a little bit to steer the conversation into a different direction. I just find that that gives students permission to disagree.
Sometimes that's my favorite thing to do in a critique.
The critique sandwich is when you give an encouraging piece of feedback, and then you give a little bit more critical piece of feedback, and then you finish it off with another encouragement. People really hang on to the first thing that was said and the last thing that was said. In the first thing that's said, if you make it more encouraging, it makes the student feel like they can open up a little bit more and receive some of that critical feedback in between. And then you sew it all up with something that is also encouraging at the end so that they can leave from that critique experience feeling really good.
In critique, it's important to use the most direct and plain language that you can. It's not important that you use impressive vocabulary or unnecessary words or anything along those lines.
You are doing everybody a favor if you can just speak in plain English, use simple, direct words.
Students sometimes come into my class and they think that they're not worthy of expressing their opinion because, oh, well, I don't know how to speak about it in the right way. And I say the only way to speak about it is to say what you're thinking. Sometimes in critique, you'll have students who just sit there and say nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a problem because you really want everybody to participate.
Sometimes students are not being quiet because they don't want to participate. They're just being quiet because they are absorbing things and are not sure about what they're going to say and they want to frame it the right way.
I don't really like putting them on the spot. It doesn't really help to say, okay, Sarah, what do you think?
If I engage in the critique less, it can get the students to talk more, especially when we just leave those awkward silences and I just look at them.
It's helpful to follow up with the student one-on-one. You can say to them, hey, I'm noticing that you're not really participating very much. Why is that? Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I'm just really shy and I'm so nervous. Or sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I feel like everybody's already said what I wanted to say. At some schools, I'll send a midterm warning. And oftentimes just that gets them to rise to the challenge. You can troubleshoot with them ways that they can be more active, but also it shows them that you're paying attention to them.
You told me to talk with them before class and just ask them about their lives, have them show me something they were really proud of from another class or in their portfolio. That really helped. It gave me more specifics to be able to bring up in critique that would help get the student engaged, but it also made the student feel more comfortable with me and with the rest of the class.
Something to be mindful of during critique is how social dynamics might affect what's being said. Every classroom has its own cliques, but you want to make sure that it's not changing the way work is being viewed.
The people in my classroom, they created this weird social dynamic where they constantly had their backs. I wasn't part of the social dynamic. I guess I wasn't receiving the same attention as somebody who was just part of the social dynamic. And that's something that had really impact because it made me think, like, I don't know, like, man, like, do I really suck? At some point, it got to me to the point where I was just trying to like give up in what I was doing. I wasn't able to believe in myself that much.
I was involved in a little bit of a clique. We weren't trying to exclude anyone, but it turned into a kind of antagonistic relationship between us and the rest of the class. You know, there's two sides to every story. It definitely felt during critique that there was a bit of a negative dynamic with the four of us and the rest of the class.
Whenever I gave critique, sometimes people thought that I was just out to get them. Ultimately, what people get from that is up to them. I'm just trying to help. And if they don't want that help, then that is totally fine.
It really helped to have an instructor who knew how to manage that. Make sure that when someone made like a negative comment, that they were held accountable to actually like explain what they meant by that. And it really helped alleviate the tension.
There were some students in my class that didn't do the work and didn't get a good crit and really held it against me that I got a good crit during that project. It was annoying to hear about that kind of stuff happening, but I didn't really care inevitably. Don't worry about it if it happens and don't hold it against them.
I have definitely had really early classes that have started at 8 a.m. and students are just dragging their feet, they're falling asleep, and it's a really painful way to run a critique. When that happens, I say to them, okay guys, go down the stairs and meet me outside in front of the building. And then I say, guys, you see that church over there? Go run around it 3 times. And I say, go, run, run now! That quick little jog gets their blood pumping and they are always more awake after that experience. I had a student who yelled at me at the top of their lungs in front of the entire class during a group critique. I said something about their work, they didn't like it, and they said, that is the most insulting thing you could ever say to me. There was like smoke coming out of his head. Very calmly, I said, I think we should move on to the next piece. How about you and I have a conversation later? Keep it really chill and really calm. And that's a way of really showing that you are indeed in control of the situation. Sometimes you have classes that are just really unmotivated with critique. But I've also had classes where the critiques are amazing.
I have had some classes that have been real doozies. And I thought it was me. I'm like, oh, I'm not trying hard enough. I need more skills. I felt really down on myself about it.
You have to learn to not take it personally and to say, you know what, this class is really struggling. It's not because I'm a bad teacher.
I had people around me tell me, no, it's just the class, like just let it go and wait for the next semester.
The longer you teach, the more likely it is that you're going to encounter a really rude, disrespectful student during a group critique. Many years ago, I had a student who created this drawing that was all about how much they hated me, how I destroyed their spirit and passion. They thought my assignments were stupid. And it was a very awkward critique because the students didn't really feel comfortable calling them out on what they were doing. And they kept saying things like, well, I think the text should be a little smaller and maybe you could indent a little bit more on this side. They weren't really addressing the giant elephant in the room. And I just went right in and I said to them, look, this is a really self-indulgent project. This has nothing to do with anybody except for you. When you get a student who really is asking for it, you have to deal with it. You can't push it to the side because it will only create bigger problems for you down the line.
Sometimes artists can bring in work that's very personal, and critiques can veer off topic sometimes. Inappropriate questions are asked about the artist that have not a lot to do with the artwork.
I think you, as the instructor, you have to recognize when that's happening, and you got to shut it down. There was one time this student presented about a very personal piece. Another student actually said, I really think you should talk to your therapist about this. And so I just go right in there and say, look, guys, you got to focus on the artwork. That's really not relevant right now. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to this part. You just don't want people to feel uncomfortable, like they're being interrogated about their personal lives. Mm-hmm. That's not a good atmosphere for a critique. If I notice that a student is starting to get a little bit emotional, I will try to stop at a natural stopping point in the conversation and say, okay, let's take a break. And that way you can end the conversation so the student can go off and take some time without calling too much attention to the student. I will follow up with that student, talk to them about what's going on, really make sure that they know that I'm paying attention and that I want to help them feel better about that experience.
Sometimes you're going to get a really difficult critique where you're talking about some sensitive stuff that could really affect some of the people in the class, could be triggering material, could be something about social politics or race. It's really important to tread carefully in those situations and to lead as the teacher.
What's difficult about maintaining a space like that is to make it safe enough for people to feel comfortable being able to talk about these subjects, but also making it a space where it's open for education as well.
If during a critique, the topic of discussion moves from the work itself to a social issue, it's important not to skip over that. Very often, it's important to talk about the subjects at hand and the work itself.
Yes, you need to talk about these things, but this is also a space where everyone can learn and being open to suggestions from other people.
Making sure that you're listening to everybody in the class and that everybody's voices are heard, keeping the emotions cool.
I think also as an instructor, it is really the hardest role in that classroom because you also have to lead, but at the same time, you're not all-knowing about everything. It is going to be hard for an 18-year-old to talk about race. But you know what? It's going to be hard for a teacher to talk about race, too. We have to have these discussions in order to learn, and that is what critique is all about. Sometimes people will bring in offensive work for critique. And what are you supposed to do about that? Well, in the end, you are trying to help the artist, and telling the artist if something is offensive is going to benefit them. If they take that work into the public area, into the world, the feedback they're going to get is so much worse than what they would get in the classroom. And in the classroom, it's the time to warn them of when that will happen.
I was in an illustration class, and for one of my assignments, I chose to do a political cartoon. In crit the next morning, one of the other students in the class pointed out that my cartoon accidentally was super offensive, and I had no idea, I had no intentions of doing that, but I just hadn't realized that my image was problematic. Whenever you're working with potentially serious or controversial topics, make sure to do your research and allow a lot of time to talk to many people and get feedback before you show your final piece because you don't want to offend someone accidentally.
One time in class, this male student brought in drawings that really objectified women, and he brought it in so casually he didn't even realize what he was doing. The whole class had to tell him, you're not looking at women. You're not drawing real women in your pictures right now. Ultimately, those were words he really needed to hear.
I was trying to summarize what I was doing and why I was doing it, but I was taking up a lot of time just rambling on and on. And then one visiting artist, he looked at me and he said, what's one sentence that brings together everything in this room? I kind of thought that was unfair of him at the time, because I was like, oh, like, of course, like, this is much more complicated than one sentence, or I've been thinking about much more things than I could fit in one sentence. Looking back on it, I think it was a really great critique because they gave me a lot of constructive feedback on different ways I could look at my practice and different ways I could understand myself more. And I think in the context of making artwork, that's really important because once you can start to understand yourself and why you do what you do, that's really going to lead to you making some work that really reflects what you want to do.
Ask students to bring.
Sometimes
sometimes people bring in artwork that's very personal.
And other times.
Sure.